I salute thy voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
So last week we started speaking about, for our Wednesday, speaking to your situation. Amen. Speaking to your situation. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Speaking to your situation. And why are we talking about this? It's because I explained to you that every August, the month after travail, I try to deal with certain topics and certain issues that in a way can affect the outcome of your travail. It's like you say, every month after travail, when you go to the podcast, you will see that every month after travail, I speak about things like this. Things that can affect your prayer. You have prepared yourself, you have prayed, you have fasted. And the month of August is the month after your fasting and prayer. So mostly we don't do any giddy-giddy prayer. But rather, we try to help ourselves not to destroy that which we have prayed for. And not to undo that which has been done in the spirit. So that we don't pray one thing and then rather turn around to do things that will neutralize what we prayed for. And so that is why I'm speaking about speaking to your situation. Because there are things that you do after you pray that can undo your prayer, or that can reduce or neutralize the efficacy, the strength, the power that your prayer carries. Can I hear an amen? Lift up your hand and say, help me, Lord. Say, help me, Father. That is why I've not been praying a lot of prayers after the travail. It is just for the month of August. We are working on something that I will finish very soon. Amen. But it is very, very important because it is in support of our prayer request and in support of our fasting and prayer. Amen. So speaking to your situation, in Ezekiel 37, let's go back there. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. Let's go back there so that those of us who are not around, we can recap the story. All right, I want to read with everyone. I want you to read loud and clear. One, go. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Amen. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open field or the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. Go on. Then he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know whether they can live or not. Verse 5. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. May everything that is dead in your life begin to live. Let your amen be a believer's one. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Say bone to bone. Are you reading with me? I said, say bone to bone. Verse 8. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. There was still no breath. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, O son of man, and say to the breath, thou sayest the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And then verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. That shall be your story. Oh, I said, that shall be your story. Breath came upon them, an exceedingly great army they became. Now, we explained last week from the verse 1. The whole preaching of last week was verse 1. Everybody say verse 1. Verse 1 was everything we did last week was just on verse 1. That the Bible says that the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel, which I explained that it represents what the anointing of God. Whether it is stirred up upon you or coming upon you afresh, influencing you and moving you towards something or carrying out an assignment with your life. But what was my interest last week was that when the anointing of the Lord began to move Ezekiel, the anointing of the Lord or God moved him to an unfortunate situation, to a valley situation, to a situation of dry bones, not a mountain situation, not a good situation, not a good experience, but the Spirit of the Lord led him to a situation of difficulty. Are you following what I'm saying? And I explained to you from last week that there are three ways that you can find yourself in an unfortunate situation or in hardship or in difficulties. I said, number one, by you leading yourself. By your own mistakes, your own sins, your own decisions, your own temptations that you fell to can lead you into trouble. So that you see a good child of God who is struggling in a certain situation because of what he fell to. Or because of he leading himself by his own desires. Example, David, leading himself by his own desires, fell to Bathsheba. And after falling to Bathsheba, we saw that for the rest of his kingdom, he faced many battles. The sword never departed from his house. Not because God could not deliver him or not because God wanted him to be like that, but because he slept with somebody's wife and brought a consequence of a sword in his house. That is why his children were killing one another. That is why his own son chased him out of the palace. It was because of one sin that he committed. Are you getting it? So there are things that come to our way, not because God designed our destiny to face those problems. Sometimes you are not supposed to enter into that situation, but you are in it. Not because God wanted you to be in it, but because you committed something or you did something or you allowed something into your life. Wave your hands and say, Lord, have mercy on me. The second way we said last week, how you can find yourself in difficulty or in an unfortunate situation is when Satan attacks you all of a sudden. When demonic attacks come upon you, those ones, you did not do anything. You did not fall into anything. But suddenly, the devil throws sickness on you. Suddenly, the devil raises an attack on your job. Suddenly, the devil attacks your family. Suddenly, you didn't do anything to necessitate that. It just came. It just happened. Out of the blue. You never saw it coming. Pam! You were under attack. Are you getting what I'm saying? Or are you getting what I'm saying? And we see that many through our scriptures. How the enemies of Israel could all of a sudden attack. Even when they had done nothing wrong to them. Are you getting it? Then we also said finally that people can find themselves in difficult situation or in an unfortunate situation by God leading them into it. And that was the whole bone of contention. How can God lead his children into trouble? Oh yes, God can lead his children into trouble. God can lead his children into trouble. But when God leads his child into a situation of difficulty, there are three things involved. It is because one, he is the solution of that situation. Lift up your hand and say, I'm the solution of every situation I find myself. You are the solution of that situation. Joseph was led into a situation, into hardship, into prison, into servitude, eventually into hunger and into famine, because he carried the solution to the rescue of his family, to his generation. So he said unto them, don't fight against yourselves because you sold me, for God sent me to preserve a people in our generation. So Joseph said, don't beat yourself, my brothers, for selling me. Because you thought you were selling me, but God sent me into this trouble. God sent me into this trouble so that I will save you people. So that I will save the then known world from hunger. It was the solution Joseph brought on board that saved that generation. Otherwise, famine would wipe out that whole generation. Is somebody following me? Is somebody following me? And then we said that if God allows you to enter into difficulty or into trouble, it also means, number two, aside the fact that you are the solution, it also means that the Lord is testing you and trying you. The Lord wants to test you and try you. That was the situation of Job. Satan threw a challenge to God that this guy serves you because you have blessed him. And so God was interested in knowing whether it was so or not. And God wanted to give the devil the opportunity to know whether it was so or not. And God wanted Job to know whether he loved the Lord because of what he had or not. The Bible says that God could have allowed them to go to Canaan from Egypt through a short distance, through the path of the Philistines. They could have arrived there in a matter of 3 days. They would have been in Canaan. But the Lord led them through the wilderness for 40 years. And through those 40 years, many of them died. Many of them sinned against God, spoke against God. You will never know what you are capable of doing until you go through certain temptations. I get what I'm saying? You never know whether you are capable of sleeping with somebody's husband until you find yourself in a certain situation. And until you find yourself in that situation, you will castigate, you will talk against people, against things. You will criticize people, but you will perform worse if you should find yourself in that situation. And sometimes, it is when God leads us into certain unfortunate, like the way God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It was not Satan that led Jesus. It was the Spirit of the Lord that led Jesus. And so sometimes, it is for you to be tested. And Jesus was tested and was tempted. In every temptation of Satan is the testings of God. I said what? In every temptation of Satan is the testings of God. And in every testings of God is the temptation of Satan. They work together. They are like twins. God doesn't tempt. Because temptation is for demotion. But testing is for promotion. Your school organizes exams for you. Not because they want to demote you. They don't even have class. They don't have enough classroom decks. They don't want you to stay in the other class. They want to promote you. That's why they are conducting the exams. But indirectly, if you fail, you are demoted. No teacher conducts exams to fail people. Maybe unless in the black man land. In the black man, when they are setting the exams, they move.
It's like the mentality is that you shouldn't pass. You should be, when you fail, it feels like, yeah, he's a powerful teacher. It is my cause that only two people passed. If you are in the white man land, they will sack you from the school because it's only your cause that everybody fails. It means you're not a good teacher. You are there to teach them to pass, not to teach them to fail. But in Black Africa, we teach to fail. True or not true? You see a teacher boasting that these exams, I'll mafia everybody. Is that why you were employed? To mafia people's children? That means you must go home. You are not a good teacher. So the testings of God, they are for promotion. Tests are not for demotion. It is temptations that are for demotion. But when the devil is tempting you to demote you, God is also looking out for the test to promote you. So the devil came to tempt Jesus, to demote him. But God also looked out for him. He tested him and he passed. And the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit. He qualified for the power. The devil tempted Job, brought all the afflictions upon Job, touched everything about Job, until later touched his own body. And everybody gave up on Job. And yet, Job passed the test of God, even though he was tempted by the devil. So be careful when you come under any temptation, because behind every temptation can be the testings of God. God is also looking out for what you are going to do about the situation. God is also looking out for how you are going to speak about the situation. God is also looking at how you are going to respond to the situation. Because when the devil is busily tempting you to destroy, God is also busily testing you to promote. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Say, I'll pass my test and shame the devil. I'll pass my test and shame the devil. There is a way to pass exams and shame the lecturer or the instructor. I remember when I was in secondary school, there was one PE teacher. Now PE is so the same name room like AP. In first week, I enshed on the PE. Now say yes, if I treat PE, I hope it will be a failing. Science is cram from confirm PE. PE in the and walk up. And this teacher so wicked. He is even dead. Achi, may his soul rest in peace. So wicked. Every student didn't like him. There was no student on campus that liked that teacher. Do you see those teachers that want to feel like they everybody's afraid of their hand? That's that man. So his exams too, he wants everybody to fail. P. And look at the hammer. Maybe I'll go check geography. So he sat one of his exams and was found his face. I'll suck you. I was just sitting down. I just watched him. He did all the skirmishes he would do. Start work. A paper that was about either 1.5 hour or 2 hours paper or whatever. I finished the paper under 30 minutes. But because of examination principles, I can't get up before 30 minutes. So I just sat down and I was just watching, like, no chemistry. I just, after 30 minutes, I got up. Me of all people, I would have sat down to the end. Because I'm not those types that will get up. Because maybe I've made a mistake somewhere. So I wait till the end. I mean, that's how I write my exam. And I'll keep watching and watching. But after that one, I'll yayarize the devil. I got up. I want to give you the paper. Are you done just now? I said, I'm done. I gave him the paper. I left. He was ranting around. How come? Come on. He marked the paper till I topped everybody. I yayarized him. You see, some of you, that's what you have to do to the devil. You have to yayarize the devil. You see, don't just pass his test. Make him small. I get what I'm saying. Make him small. Behind every temptation, God is watching for you. Watching out that you will pass. Don't disgrace God. I get what I'm saying. Don't disgrace God.
You think that God is not around. You have faced small temptation. You want to fool. God is also watching through the corridors. He's watching through the windows. He's watching how you will behave. Clap your two hands for the Lord. And so it's either God is making you a solution to the situation, is testing and is trying you, or finally he's teaching you a lesson. There are lessons that we learn, like lessons of patience, lessons of kindness. A lot of people, you see, because of who you will become, God must allow you to go through certain things. If it's not because of who you will become, you don't need to go through certain things. Sometimes God needs you to feed thousands of people. Such a person, you have to know what hunger means. What hunger represents. Because you cannot feed thousands if God commits the resources into your hands. If you don't know what hunger means. Tell somebody about you. Because of what you are going to become, you must go through certain things. You must go through certain things. It's just because of what God is teaching you a lesson. Because of what Joseph was going to become, he needed to learn how to do management. Management. And he could not learn it in his father's house. He had to learn it as a servant, as a slave. His father's house, he was being pampered. So God has to take him out of his comfort zone. Some of you, God has intentionally taken you out of your comfort zone. Because God is changing your vessel. Say, vessel change. God is changing. You are too weak for what is coming. You are too weak. You are too weak for what is coming. God needs you to be rugged. God needs you to be strong. Some of you, you are too pampered for what God wants you to do. So God needs to change your vessel. Some of you, you are too wicked. If God commits the resources that he wants to give you into your hands, nobody will eat in your family. Nobody will benefit in your family. So God has to teach you the lesson of hunger and of kindness so that tomorrow when he commits those things into your hands, you will remember the poor and you will know how to feed the poor. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. Say, because of what I must become, I go through what I must go through. How can you counsel people about marriage if you have faced nothing in marriage? The best counselors of marriage are people who have a story. Are people who have a story. The best counselors, aside the godly wisdom and reading, but the best counselors of marriage are people who have practical experiences. When they tell you what they have been through in marriage, you understand why God has given them that ministry. Oh yeah. Well, look out for anybody that is into huge compassion ministry, feeding thousands of people. They'll tell you their story, and you'll be able to trace that there was a hunger line. There was a season of hunger in their life that birthed that. People who have been through serious sickness for a long time that almost caused their life, they have compassion for the sick. When they see a sick person, something in them is stirred up and they're able to heal the people. Most men of God with strong healing ministries, they have a background of terrible sicknesses that they had. I get what I'm saying. What you must become is the reason why you must go through what you are going through. Are you getting what I'm saying? Am I speaking to someone? So instead of giving up, instead of saying that I'm tired, no, that time is not up. People can eat you raw. Tell somebody, people can eat you raw. They need a more cooked version of you. They need a prepared version of you. They cannot patronize you raw. The way you are too raw, they can't patronize you like that. Eh? Nobody can carry flour and be chewing the flour. Can you be chewing flour? But flour must suffer the heat. If flour has mouth, you know what the flour will be saying? What sin have I committed? What did I do to deserve this heat? What did I do to deserve this heat? Where did I wrong you, God? Is that God really alive? Oh yes, God is alive. Oh yes, God is real. Oh yes, you did nothing wrong. But because of what you must become, Barakatash, because of what you must become, because of what you must become,
That is why your uncle is molesting you. That is why your auntie is treating you that way. That is why they have turned you into a servant, into a slave girl. Because one day, you are about to meet a multi-millionaire somewhere. And they are about to lift you to another level. And if you don't know how to cook all kinds of dishes, if you don't know how to clean all kinds of cleaning, if you don't know how to take care of a home well, you will not catch the attention of that billionaire. You will not.
That's what you must become. I'm becoming something. Tell someone I'm becoming something. I'm not just going through the pain. I'm becoming something. Say, I'm not just going through the pain. I'm becoming something. I'm not just going through the pain. I'm becoming something. It is the heat that will turn that egg into a boiled one. Else nobody can eat it. You carry all those talents and you die with it because it's a raw state. It won't help anybody. But when God takes you through certain situations, it stirs you up. It prepares you. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you see that when the time, and it is not the flour that tells the baker when time is up. Tell the one, but it's not the flour that tells the baker when time is up. The baker knows when the time is up. Before the baker is putting you in Ankata, he knows you are going to be there for 15 minutes. Having to help people cooking on TV, they say that, and boil it for 5 minutes, and after 5, they know the time. It's not the thing that will tell you the time. They know when it is ready and when it is not ready. So stop telling God when. It's not your business. Your business is to get cooked. On time, get cooked, get ready, get set. Don't delay your own self. Have you ever cooked a certain stubborn rice before? Maybe you don't understand my revelation. Or you have been only cooking perfume. There are certain rices they refuse to cook. The rice is not rising. Sure. You cook and cook and cook, and it is still hard. How many of you have cooked such a rice before? I'm talking to dadabis. I'm talking to long grain. I'm not dealing with long grain here. I'm dealing with those rice that if you take one grain, the grain looks like the nail of somebody. It's very big. And if you make a mistake to prepare jollof with it, it will be the greatest embarrassment. In fact, you will close down your shop. Rice water. I'm sure you can eat it. Is somebody understand what I'm saying? So don't be a stubborn rice. Don't be a stubborn rice. In the hands of your maker. In the hands of your maker. Don't be a stubborn rice. God is trying to promote you. You are demoting your own self. You are too stubborn. You are not learning the lessons. You are not getting yourself prepared. You are still sinning. You are still making the mistakes that you are supposed to have passed. The same error yesterday is the same error you are making today. And God is still waiting for your breakthrough. And your breakthrough is not coming. You have written those 5 things and they are still not happening. Because God is too afraid of you that when he blesses you with that child, when he blesses you with that husband, when he blesses you with that money, when he blesses you with that job, your behavior will change and you will walk on the necks of people. God is still afraid of you. I say, Pastor, my 5 prayer requests have not come. They have not come because we're stubborn rice. You'll be in the heat for a long time because God will not change the heat because he is tired. God, the one good thing about God is that he doesn't get tired. We get tired. God doesn't get tired. The reason is God doesn't live in time. God, he's bigger than time. You have 6 o'clock. God doesn't have anything called 6 o'clock. You have 1 year. God doesn't have anything called 1 year. To God,
all the millions of years together is like a day to him. He doesn't live in time. You are calculating time. God doesn't know. In heaven, there is nothing called time. There is no night. There is no. It's only day, sun. There is nothing like time. So God lives in eternity forever and ever. No beginning, no end. One hour time, a call, or no time, a movie, a book, ni time in call, to 1 hour check, or no chair, or no 70 years. If God blesses you at 60, and then I'll be. God bless me, bless me. That's what my Range Rover 70 years. So the heading. In ka, oh yeah, young, no, and call better, which may feel it. Me and Yami on walk or crack. It is a. We are off our power. Lord, bless my ministry. Bless my ministry. Now, who, Jimmy? Now, who, Yenny, I want to say, oh, yeah. Bless my ministry. Bless my ministry. Now, I meet to show up. I'm crossing and I am waiting for you. When you are ready for bless my ministry, I'll bless your ministry. Otherwise, you go hustle, sir. Your ministry is still at one spot. That's how our God behaves. I'm telling you, he's not in a hurry. You are in a hurry. Tell somebody, God has time for you. Time for you. You don't have time. He has time for you. So you keep repeating the mistakes of your destiny. Keep repeating the mistakes. You keep repeating the mistakes, and you are still there. You keep repeating. God blesses you with something small. Then you let that small thing change your behavior. Then you come back to square one. Then God will say, "This guy is not ready." Then you are in square one. Then after 2 years of prayer, 2 years of fasting, God opens another small door for you. Then you get something small. When you get something small, then the old character comes back again. Then God says, "This guy is still not ready." 4 years echo. Then you are still there. You are still there. Meanwhile, Bible says that more than what eyes can see, more than what ears have heard, more than what has entered into imagination, into the heart of men, is what he has prepared for you. Meanwhile, the little he gave you, you messed up. He tried again, you messed up. He brought first gentleman, you messed up. Second gentleman, you messed up. Third gentleman, you messed up. You don't know how to control yourself. How will he give you that which is? No. No. You are not ready. Ask somebody, are you ready? As I told her, after travel, I come to work on people. Because we are prayed. Have we not prayed? Yes. So after travel, that 1 month, that month of August, I don't come to pray. I come to talk to people and show people how to not undo, destroy what you prayed about. Your 5 prayer requests are still with me. I'm praying over them. So after the prayer is going on, but my prayer for you is that you will not delay your own manifestation. Because and some of you, even me, your pastor, I'm tired for you. You are me, your pastor, I'm tired for you. I cannot tell you. Well, I say, oh, it will be well, eh? But I'm tired for you. I'm tired for you because what change? And the unfortunate thing is that Methuselah lived for hundreds of years. You are not Methuselah. Are you Metu? Are you Metu? You are not Methuselah. So the way yours is delaying now, and said that and Abraham waited for 25. Are you Abraham? When Abraham waited for 25 years, he gave birth when he was 100 years. You, when you're 100 years, do you know how you look like? Do you know how you look like? So I'm not sure God is waiting for you to also wait for 25 years. But you are delaying your own self. You are delaying your own self. Yes. Because you are, up to today, you are still stealing from your boss shop. And you are praying for your own shop. You are not serious. You are not serious. You are not serious. You are still taking what is not yours. And say, oh God, when will you change my financial level? When will he change your financial level? When you can't control yourself, you are taking what is not yours. You will be at that level. I've spoiled the church, eh? Let's share the blessing and close. Masa, sorry, no, let my pony and go. Amen. But today I just wanted to tell you something. Now, this one was last week.
So let's go to verse 2. I said something new. This one, not last week. Last week. I just explained it in a little different way, Kakra. And lift up your hand and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, have mercy on me. I said, yes, I'm sick. My kids came here, baby. And then me here with my results. Do you know that after I write an exam, I thought my kids came can come out. You don't even need your friends outside the exam hall can start discussing something. You know you are finished. You know you are finished. By the time you come out there, you see what they have drawn. And you are like, oh, now where's your buyer? And everybody's looking at you. It looks like you have solved a different question. Just that you don't even know this one is. Hey! You didn't know this one was part. So while you were busy, what were you drawing? See, do you know one of the drawings that is very, very tricky? Have you done mathematics that is because of the reflection? Everybody has a graph. Graph. So you see people busily drawing. Then you see people plotting X and Y. Then, by the time we all finish, stop work. Somebody says, say 1 minute. Oh, say 1 minute. I'm ready. It's like, Tali, people have written. Then you come out. Then you see people discuss. Then you see that, oh, this one, it was around this area, and this was the shape. And you have shown. So that's how it is. When we are in church, it looks like we are all doing the right thing. But when the man of God start preaching, everybody start marking. Say, hey, this one, affirm you. Mercy, Lord. Lift up your right hand and open your mouth in 1 minute and say, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. I can't waste all my life. Lord, I'm in my 30s already. Help me, Lord. Lord, I cannot keep delaying my destiny. I can't keep delaying your will for my life. I cannot say God's time is the best. Meanwhile, I have crossed that time and I'm just marking time. I have crossed that time. Now you are actually waiting for me. It's not that it is not time. You, God, are rather waiting for me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Shakaparakata kabarakata kabrakata rabaha. Mrende sete breketo shakaparakate. Mrendele brendele brekete kodrakata kaparakete kodrakete shakaparakata kaparakete. Baradadadada parakata kaparakete kabreketo shakaparakata rabaha. Amen. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Now, so in verse 2, go to verse 2. The Bible says that, and after God had led the man into the valley of dry bones, then he caused me to pass by them, run about, and behold, there were very many of these bones in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. What does that mean? That means that God gave him the opportunity to assess the situation. And after careful assessment of his situation, he realized that the bones were not just dry, they were very dry. What does it mean? It means that they were really hopeless. There are situations that you can have hope, but there are other situations that it looks like there is no sight of hope. It looks like it is beyond hope. Yeah. It looks like it's beyond hope. It looks like you have gone beyond the place where you can say, I still believe. Imagine you're a woman
and you have waited, and now you are 45 years old, and we tell you that your husband is coming. I'm not sure it is something that you can easily believe. Because where you are getting to, you have gotten to the level where your situation is not just dry, but it has become very dry. And I don't know who I'm speaking to, but if you do a careful analysis of your life and what you are going through, and you can see that things are not the way they should be, and you trying to make life out of nothing looks very hopeless, then you are the one I'm speaking to. That was the situation that Ezekiel found himself in, a situation that looks very hopeless. But I pray for 50 people here tonight, that every hopeless situation, may the breath of the Spirit of God turn it into hopefulness. I declare that whatever you feel like giving up, may God give you a reason to believe it again. May God give you a reason to believe it again. May God give you a reason to believe it again. It may be a business situation. It may be a career opportunity. It may be a traveling door. Whatever it may represent. You used to believe that something good is going to happen. Oh, I'm about to travel. Or a door is about to open. Or my business is about to boom. But now, life seems to have cornered you somewhere that now you know it's not possible. Because when you do your calculations, you know it's not possible. When we say 2025 is your year of marriage, in January, you were shouting, "Yay, I receive." Now you are in August, and you know, if you want to do 6 months counseling, it's not possible. You know, if you want to buy things on your list, it's like it's not possible. It's like you have crossed the level of hope into hopelessness. But I pray for you in the name of the Lord Jesus, that may the God of this commission, may he intervene in any situation that looks hopeless. Any situation that looks hopeless, may he intervene. May he intervene in any condition of hopelessness. Whatever the doctors have said, whatever people have said, whatever others are expecting, I pray in the name of Jesus that God will turn things around for your favor. Let your amen be a resounding one.
Clap your two hands together. It's a very serious case. Bible says that, and he realized that it was a hopeless situation. And so, after he saw that it was a hopeless situation, look at something. Verse 3. And he said to him, God now says, "Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live?" And so I answered, "Oh Lord, you know." Now, if God is about to work a miracle, why should he ask the man that is going to work the miracle for, or the miracle through, whether it is possible? Can these bones live? That means that whatever God wants to do for you, God first tries to get you into accepting and thinking that thing. God wants to know your state of mind concerning that thing. God consults your mentality before he determines your opportunities. I get what I'm saying. Over here, God was consulting the mentality of the prophet. He said, "Son of man." And I like it because he didn't say son of God. He said, "Son of man." Son of man means that human as you are, do you think that these bones can live? You are seeing, have you been to the cemetery and you chance on a bone? That dry bone. And then someone tells you that it will be standing and preaching like me. You don't even believe it. Talkless and army. Because it's not like a dead body that you say are going to resurrect. It has no flesh. It has no blood. It has no muscles. Nothing. And you say that dry white bone is going to stand a human being and be performing everything like a man. In an instance, you are not taking it to the lab. You are not now going to do any culture or anything. It will just get up like that. It was very impossible. And so God
asked the man that according to your humanity, do you think that this is possible? That's why he's a son of man. You have written down 5 prayer requests. You have brought them. You have prayed over them for 40 good days. You have waited. You have sacrificed on it. But before God determines your opportunities, he is also testing your mentality. He said, can these bones live? Do you believe that this marriage will work? Is the question he's asking you. Do you believe that this job will come through? Do you believe that you will get this admission? Do you believe that you will get this money for that project? Do you believe those 5 things you wrote? God's question to you tonight in the month of August is that, do you believe it will happen? Do you believe the business will rise? Do you believe that your new setup will expand and will enlarge? Do you believe what you have written, that you want to travel? Do you believe that you will get a visa? Or you have just brought the prayer request just for prayer? Do you believe? And listen, think about it before you answer. Don't just rush to answer. Ask yourself, do you really believe? Do you really believe that this career in your hands will blow up? Like, do you, like, if we should bust your head open, will we see that you believe it 1,000%? Or you just wrote it down? You yourself, you are giving up. Like, it's 50-50. You are not so sure. Son of man, can these bones live? Son of man, 2025, can these bones live? Do you believe that you will be healed? Do you believe that that marriage will come? Do you believe that that man will appear? Do you believe that that deliverance will come? Do you believe that that opportunity will come? God is testing your mentality. God is checking how you think in order to determine whether you can receive it or not. Is somebody getting me? Because listen, in the school of the spirit, thoughts is like a magnetic force that attracts things to us. Your thought, your thinking. Everybody say the thoughts. Say my thoughts. It's like a magnet that attracts things to me in the spirit. Bible says that for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Your life gravitates towards the things you think about. If you like thinking about girls, you can never stay away from girls. If you like thinking about money will control your life. Your life will gradually gravitate towards what has concentrated your thoughts or saturated your thoughts. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So you cannot come and pray something and yet you are thinking the opposite. You think people will not patronize you. You think people don't buy. You think, Charlie, it's hard to get a job, or it's hard. That's your thought. That's your mentality. Son of man, can these bones live? Son of man, can you get this 5 prayer? Can I give you this 5 prayer request? Son of man, are you sure you believe that you are going to get that thing that you are saying? Or are you saying that as for this school, they will not admit you? After this school, they cannot admit me. If that is your thought, no prayer can make you get it. Because as he thinks, so is he. Nobody can be better than his thoughts. You are a product of your thoughts. Listen to me. If you cannot think it, you cannot take it. Everybody takes what he thinks. I said what? Haven't you seen people who have gone to a wholesale? Have you ever seen a market setting? People are buying, or maybe they bring this Obroni Wewu things. Obroni Wewu fridge, Obroni Wewu TV, Obroni Wewu stuffing chair. You know the Obroni Wewu stuff. See that when they land like that, it's like, I don't know where the people hear that Obroni Wewu things have landed. People come with cars from far and they are coming to check. Now, when everyone is coming, they are coming with a certain thought. Mikope TV. Somebody too is coming. Oh, you see engine woman. Say mikope engine. The one that is coming thinking about engine will never go to where the televisions are. True or not true? He will go to where the engines are. Why? Because his mentality is dictating his steps. Whatever you cannot think, you will not take. You leave home thinking that I'm going to look for a black trouser. So when you go and you see a yellow trouser, that's not what you want. You go and take the black trouser. Because that's what you are thinking about. Hello, am I communicating with the people? So in life, you cannot think A and be taking B. What you think determines what you take. What you think bad marriage, you will never take good marriage. Because your mentality says, every man is a scam. Imamaya 419. Some people even boldly write on their walls that marriage is a scam. How can you think that marriage is a scam and not get a scam? As he thinks, so is he. Bible says that he shall receive exceedingly, abundantly, above all that he can think and even imagine. The way you are imagining that the boy will break your heart, get ready. Get ready. About Mashley. This guy is being so good to you. You are still thinking that all men are 419 and he will break your heart. So you are monitoring him. It will happen. Because your mentality will attract unfaithful spirit to him. You are thinking that as for this marriage, it will not work. Or my mother married, it didn't work. My father married, it didn't work. And as for our house, it's like that. See, the devil has made sure that you have accepted that in your house, no one establishes business for it to stand. So that thing has entered into your mentality. So your mentality says that in my house, nobody does this for it to work. So even as you are trying, you always tell yourself that in my house, nobody succeeds as this. So it is your mentality. What you think you take. You will take. Is somebody get what I'm saying? So the students, you cannot think F and go and get A. At all. At all. You can't think F and go and get A. You yourself, you are working about knowing that you have failed. You have failed. Because the fact that you are thinking that you will lose, you will lose. It's your mentality. Say it's your mentality. It's your mentality. The devil gave you a test message and you accepted the test message that it will not work. And you were walking about saying bibi. Something was telling me. Something was telling me. It was the devil that has wired your mentality.
You are coming to say that it was the spirit of God. Spare us. It's not the spirit of God. Was your mentality? Was your mentality? You were thinking it. You were dwelling on it, brooding over it. When Job entered into trouble, then Job now confessed all along what has been his mentality. Do you know Job's mentality? Who remembers the scripture I'm about to say? Do you know Job's mentality? All along when he was blessed, his mentality was that one day, sin will occur and God will make him lose everything and kill his children. And so, Bible says that he was afraid that one day, his family will sin against God and then God will attack them and will destroy everything. Because of that, every day he was giving sacrifice to God. So the sacrifice was not out of faith. The sacrifice was, he thinks that God is about to attack them. And guess what happened? Everything he said he would lose, he lost.
Say it's a magnet.
Charlie, can you start thinking that that business will be big? Charlie, can you start thinking that that marriage will work? Can you start thinking that that shop, you open another branch? Can you picture it? God called Abraham and said, as far as you can see. He was not talking about his eyes. How far can your eyes see? Out of your eye, it will see just a little distance. But as far as you can see with your mind's eye, as far as you can see, I, the Lord, will give it to you. If you can see yourself in America, God says he will give it to you. If you can see yourself married successfully, God says he will give it to you. Whatever you can seize. Whatever you can see, you will not be denied. Can I hear your loudest amen, somebody? If you can think it, you can take it. I'm just here to work. Oh. I'm working on your mentality. I didn't come here to make you pray. I told you from the beginning that the month of August, I make you pray small so I can make you finish the travail well. Don't finish the travail and be walking about and you are thinking, you have written that, number one, God, restore my marriage. That is your prayer point. And you say you believe it. We have declared all sort of things. You have sacrificed. And you are walking about and you are thinking that this one, you will not change. Then what is the you came to say, you said God should give you a good marriage, isn't it? And now you yourself, you are walking about and you are expecting evil. You are thinking evil and you are expecting that he will not change, and your mentality is telling you that he will not change and the situation will not change.
Now, let me tell you a certain story that happened. There was a certain woman that fell ill. Then she went to the hospital. Anytime she becomes sick, she had a chronic sickness that goes and comes. Anytime she becomes sick of that thing, when she goes to the hospital, they inject her with that particular particular medicine. Hello, are you following me? They inject her with a particular medicine. Then afterwards, she'll be fine. Until they inject her with that medicine, she will not be fine. She believes that they should inject, because over the years, that's what has worked for her. So it has entered into her mind that this is what I'll be free. Have you heard somebody say, oh, well, anytime I get this attack, give me this, I'll be fine. Have you heard it? So those people, it has entered into their mentality that this is what can make me fine. Now, such a person, open man, a dreadful phobia will use more. He will say no. Aspirin. Me far me hold Tommy. Like onimnia. I run na gym over the years, you know. And one like nijidia koshemu na gini na shim. Such a person will give him another thing to not work. He will not even believe it. And if it works, he will be shocked. Hey, we saw you, Juma. Not just all no jindi. Now listen. Now this woman had one of her chronic sickness and went to the doctor. And the doctor assessed them, and the doctor knew that no, there was nothing wrong with her. She was just thinking that around that time, I want to say eba, and I saw yari no eba. And you know. And the mentality, nama or feeling, because if you start thinking sick, your body system starts responding that way. Have you noticed that? If you start thinking you are sick, you will start feeling it. You will start feeling it. You see that now? Even if you were not sick, you will start getting sick because you were thinking. So the guy has entered into that season that he normally gets that attack. And so he was expecting it. So all of a sudden, I shall say, Nanti Boti Boti, and say, so he had already started manifesting the symptoms, but nothing has happened. So he went to the doctor, and the doctor didn't know how to help him. So you know what the doctor did? The doctor just took water and put water into the syringe. Then the water. Or the world no coffee. Guess what? No turn. It's a day in the sun,
ẹ̀yẹ́ ìṣòro mentality nu sẹ yẹ wọ́ mi sá ẹ̀dúró wéé à mi hún bẹ tọ́ mi ẹnu tí nu yàá má ne dúró nù yẹ di bíbí ṣe ẹ̀dúró nà bá yàn ká njẹ nù tí ni mentality ni tí nu yà wọ́ nù pure water bá ni wọ́n tọ̀ nù ọ̀nì sẹ yà aspirin. If you like tie a hen or a cock for 3 days, 3 days. Now we are sanino. Now catch and say uncle. I don't know where. Uncle da. Uncle da. The fowl will be there. Can you say uncle? Because now Jimuno will try say or call us 3 days, sano. I cannot go beyond this point. My distance is only here. You see, and a lot of others are a problem. The devil has made you suffer something in the past. That thing has been broken in the spirit. But you are still not experiencing a change because your mentality is still telling you that this and that is my situation. This and that is the condition in my house. This and that is the condition in my family. Say yebu shemu de eti say. Mi wa waba travel yebu still wosi webu shemu no eti say. Mi wa waba yedinzato oso isu still wosi wanto adia yento. Because it's in your mind. It's your mind. Ahe ni he. Yento adio. When I hear people talking like that, then my skin itch. They don't buy you. And the audacity with which they say it. Now, if you talk like that, why won't your business go down? Why won't? It will go down because that's your mentality. That because there's a new government, people are not buying. That's your mentality. The devil has tricked you into that. You have accepted it. You are like that fowl, that chicken. He has been liberated, yet it cannot go beyond his mentality. Tell somebody, you can't go beyond your mentality. Start thinking marriage and you'll get marriage. Start thinking money, you'll get money. Start thinking wealth, you'll get wealth. Start thinking a big church, you'll get a big church. Start thinking a sound marriage, you'll get a sound marriage. Start thinking you are healed and you'll be healed. Start thinking you are well and you'll be well. But sometimes when you are even healed, you don't believe it. You go and then you are scratching the thing to see. No, as I go, brim bim. Mentality. Meanwhile, there are times that God heals you. You have even forgotten that you had a situation. And later you remember that, when did I get healed? Hey, that thing is gone. Oh, because that thing was not in your mind. It's left without you even noticing. It took a long time before somebody reminded you or something reminded. But the sicknesses that has registered in your mind, if God doesn't first work on your mind, you'll be healed, but you still suspect it that you are not healed. You'll still try to be probing. You'll still try to be testing it over and over. This is how people lose their healing. They go for a miracle service. They get it when they come home. Instead of they were working fine over there, they were doing okay, they were healed, whatever when they get home, they say, hey, I didn't come here, sure, sir, I call. Then they'll start checking. Once you start doubting, it will come back. Am I speaking to God's children? This is a post-travail work. This year, may your 40 days not be in vain. You didn't hear me. I said, may your 40 days not be in vain. Yeah. And let me close you. Look at it. After the Lord asked him that mentality question, that son of a, you God, I come to work a miracle. Why are you asking a human being? You are saying because he needs his mentality to align with his for the miracle to work. So the prophet didn't want to cause any trouble. So he said, I don't know. You know. And that's better than saying no. And so God said, okay, now let me teach you how to handle difficult situations. Let me teach you how to get what you have written down. After you have prayed, this is how to get it. This is how to change your difficult situations. God said, prophesy to the dry bones. Prophesy and say that let there be flesh, let there be skin, let there be breath, and let them rise up as an army. Simple. Prophesy. What does the meaning of prophesy? It means speak. Everybody say speak. Prophesy doesn't mean see. Prophesy means speak. When we say somebody's prophesying, we don't mean the person is seeing. We mean the person is speaking. Visions, audible voice, discernment, all those things are channels by which we know what God is saying. But until you say it, you have not prophesied. Saying is prophesying. When you are preaching, you are prophesying the word of God. When you see vision, out of the vision you saw, whether good or bad, you can prophesy. I see this is going to happen. I see that is going to happen. Good or bad is because of what you saw. But the real thing, when God said prophesy, he didn't say go and see vision. He said say something. Say something. And God gave him the clue. Say what you want to see. You don't want to see the dry bones. So don't say dry bone. Say that let breath enter. Let there be muscles. Let there be flesh. Let there be a mighty army. Let there be breath. That means say what you want to see happen to your situation. So after this travail, don't confess your situation. Don't say your situation, but say what you want to see happen. Speak over that career. Speak over that business. Say, my business is rising. Say, customers are coming. Say, I'm finding a good beloved to marry. Say, money is coming to sponsor my wedding. Speak positive. Say, I am living in good health. That the health of God is in my body. Don't say negative. Don't talk about the dry bone. Speak to change the dry bone. Speak to the wind. Speak to the flesh. Speak to the bone. Speak to the situation. And call forth that a mighty spirit should enter. Speak. Tell somebody by you. Just speak. Just speak. Just speak. Say the mind of God, not your situation. When we say speak, don't speak your situation. As I hear that they don't buy in the morning or they buy in the evening. God has brought you people to help you. They're saying that me, I don't trust people. You don't trust me. Go and trust angels. Go and trust angels. God has brought you people to help you. You have already started prophesying evil. They've not done you any wrong. I started prophesying. Use your mouth to prophesy good things. Take that your child and speak over your child. You are a good child. You are wise. You are intelligent. You will pass your exams. Take your husband's picture and put in front of you that your stubborn husband and speak. I tame you. If he's even a wild lion, tame him. Tame him in the spirit. You are a good man. I prophesy. Your mind is coming home. You will not follow any stranger. You will not follow any slave queen. Pray. Prophesy. Speak. Declare. Take your business and speak over your business. All through our project at Men's Chrome, where we are building our headquarters. When there is no money to continue, I'll go there. Even today, I was there. I'll go there at every phase. Then I'll be walking. And as I'm walking, if I'm looking for iron rods, I'll walk and go to where the iron rods are. That is finished. Then I'll stretch forth my hands. I declare iron rods are here. Money for iron rods has come. Money for iron rods is here. We have bought more iron rods. Iron rods are here. When we were flooring the first floor, I walk under. I said, I declare there is a floor here. There is one floor here. There's another floor here. I speak it into being. In the name of Jesus, we are under a floor. We floor you. The iron rods have arrived. The workers are working. Meanwhile, I'm looking at an open sky. And now that we are at the roofing level, I walk in that roofless building. And I lift up my eye, even today. I said, we are under a roof. I speak a roof right now. That's how I spoke the trusses. The trusses have arrived. 90,000 Ghana cedis trusses arrived. Can people ask him, how did you get the money? I got the money by speaking. Say, by speaking. And now I need the roofing sheet for 100,000. So I've started the same formula. I'm climbing the altar, looking at the top, and I'm declaring aluminium roofing sheet. And I'm being specific. You are coming. You are coming. By the close of September, we are under a roof. This is my declaration. This is my declaration. I'm declaring. And so you will not know how it will happen. But by the time you realize, God has intervened. Something has shifted. The Bible says that when he started doing what God asked him to do, prophesying, speaking to the dry bone, Bible says that, and all of a sudden there was a sound. Everybody say a sound. Say a sound. Because he was a prophet, he heard the sound. Some of you, you are not prophets. You may not hear the sound. But I'm telling you, whenever you start speaking to your marriage, there is a sound in the spirit. Whenever you start speaking to your business, there is always a sound in the spirit. Whenever you start speaking to that child, there is always a sound in the spirit. Whenever you start attacking the situation, there is always a sound in the spirit. Bible said that immediately there was a sound in the spirit and bones started knocking bone. I declare that as you engage prophecy, may things start knocking things. May things start moving things. May there be a movement of money, a movement of people, a movement of properties, a movement of wealth, a movement of helpers, a movement of connection, a movement of things. Bone hitting bone, sinews coming, tissues coming, oh, muscles coming, skin coming. Receive it in the name of Jesus.
The Bible says that when he started prophesying, that reaction started. So somebody, there's always a reaction after you speak. Because when God came to the scene, God said, let there be light. God didn't say, why is the place too dark? Why is it that people are not buying? No! That's not how to speak. Speak what you want to see. A soundless believer is a signless believer. If you can't sound it, you can't see it. I get what I'm saying. So say what you want to see. Not what you are already seeing. What you are seeing, you don't like. So say what you want to see. I'm healthy. I'm strong. The wound is gone. I'm strong. I'm healed. I'm strong. I'm okay. The business is working. Customers are coming. They are coming from the north. Look at it. When he started and the movement started, he got half of the results. He didn't get all. Bible says that and skin and body. Now the skeleton became a human body lying down. But it was still dead. There was no breath. Meanwhile, the first prophecy said there should be breath. And the thing started, but it didn't end the way. So when you write that, Lord, give me a good paying and a good timing job. And all of a sudden you have gotten a good paying job, but it doesn't give you time. Your prophecy is not complete. Your miracle is not complete. So God taught him that when the miracle starts, you don't stop. You continue speaking it. You continue to say it. You continue to declare it. Some of you, the problem is that once you start smelling small miracle, you stop praying. You stop. Now you are too busy. You are too busy. You are now serving customers. No more prayer. Meanwhile, the original thing God wants to do has not yet happened. It has now started. Bible says that there was no breath, even though a miracle has started. And God taught him the secret again. God said, prophesy again. That's all. Keep speaking. Tell somebody, keep speaking it. Listen, from now till you come back in December, be careful what you say. Speak everything you want. Speak. Keep speaking till it happens. Keep speaking till customers flood your shop. Bible says we have this same spirit of faith. According to us, it is said that we believe, so we spoke. We also believe and we have spoken. It's a spirit. And God said, prophesy again. And Bible said that he prophesied again. And this time around, God told him, be specific. Tell the winds to come from the north, the south, the east, the four winds. Tell somebody, be specific. When you are busy, don't say, Lord, God, give me marriage. Give me marriage. Every marriage now be marriage, oh. Okay, so if he give you marriage and the marriage is a boxing marriage, is it not marriage? Is it a boxing one you want? What type of marriage do you want?
Good marriage.
So be specific.
Lord God, give me a good marriage. Give me a stable. Because some of you in your family, you can be allowed to marry, but you won't get good marriage. So be specific. Give me a good marriage. A marriage that will be lasting. A heaven on earth. Idyllic experience. Are you getting what I'm saying? A paradise in my home. Give me a good... Mention it. Mention it. That is why when I say, God, give me roofing sheets, I don't say, God, give me roofing. I say, God, give me aluminium. Aluminium, because that's the expensive. I say, give me aluminium roofing sheets. 0.5 mm. Be specific. Because if you go and say that, I declare roofing sheets, God, not singly. If your angel, the angel doesn't hear you well. And by the time you realize, somebody has called you that, oh man of God, the Lord is moving me to sow a seed into your church. And I hear you need roofing sheet. And so I've ordered for roofing sheet from so-and-so company. And the roofing sheet arrived and it is zingling, zinc. It is zinc. You have not helped me. We have roofing sheet, we have roofing sheet too. This roofing sheet we have here, we have changed it twice. No, or once. We've changed it once. We've changed it. This is not the same roofing sheet. The first one that we fixed, it is proper zingling. When you are inside, you'll be hearing crackling sound. You think angels are playing on the roofing. When it rains, it's as if you are using an amplifier for the rain. When the wind blows, it was so soft. So soft. And we had to change and fix a new one. And what they call, they were laughing at us. We just fixed a new one, or we've changed. In 2 months or so, we have to change. And our enemies were laughing at us. Because we didn't know what we were doing. It was our first project. But now we know better. So when we are commanding the angels, we command with specificity. Lord, aluminium roofing sheet, 0.5 mm. Now, angel, now, no mistake. So you two, you are declaring that I receive my marital breakthrough in the month of December, in the month of October. Be specific. 2025, I'm getting married. I'm marrying a good man. Mention what you want. You want to go to school? Mention the school you are going to. I'm getting admission to Presec. I'm entering here. I'm getting 6 months. Don't say, Lord God, give me good grades. Be specific. What do you want? The angel said, say wind come from the four breath, come from the four winds. Be specific. Tell somebody, be specific. Bible says that whoever says, Mark 11:23. Whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou positioned as he says, he shall have whatsoever he says. Specifics. Whatsoever. They will say that I'll give birth without pains. Like by the time I arrive at the hospital, I've delivered. Specific. Specific. That's better than say, oh Lord, please deliver me. God can deliver. He can deliver. You have a rough, rough. You can't deliver him to them on. I can see this back. Am I helping someone? Yes. You have a response to every travel prayer request. Yes. I said you have a response to every travel prayer request. Yes. Wave your two hands and begin to thank the Lord.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.